We'll read the first two verses of 1 Peter chapter 3. You pray for your preacher tonight. I certainly need the help of God. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us now while we might preach. I pray you'd touch and just anoint afresh tonight. We certainly need some help from heaven. And Lord, we need your direction. I believe this would be the message for the hour tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help one that might be lost, save them. But one that needs some help, help them. And we'll certainly give you the glory for everything that's said and done in here tonight that glorifies and honors you. For this in Jesus' name, amen. As I thought about this passage of Scripture and looked at it, I thought about the thought that the Lord had given us who do folks see in us? Who do people see in us? When you look at this passage of Scripture as Peter is dealing with, I really believe, with a saved wife, with a lost husband. He says right here, he says, first of all, he tells them to be in subjection to their own husband right here. But then he says that you might be able to win your husband. As a matter of fact, he said that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And the word conversation right here is not talking about how we talk or our speech. In today's terms, we use the word conversation. I had a conversation with such and such about that situation. And so we're talking about that we talk to one another. But in your King James Bible, the word conversation means your general course of manners, your deportment, or your behavior, how you act and how you react. And so I really believe right here is he's talking about the husband and the wife. He says that you might be able to win your husband. He said right here that though that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And so he was talking about that in how that wife lived in front of her husband would make a difference in his life. That it would make a difference and point him to Christ. And so now listen, I'm a believer in preaching. I'm a believer in teaching. I'm a believer in radio work. I'm a believer in tracts. I believe in witnessing. But friend, there are just sometimes in your life that all folk are ever going to see is you. All they're ever going to see is me. How we carry ourselves, our deportment, that it might make a difference in somebody else's life. Can I tell you the reason that we got saved is because we were lost. He saved us and that to not only to take us to heaven, but to make a child of God out of us, that while we are here, that we might serve Him and that we might be a faithful servant there and to Him. And how we live, let me say quickly, matters. I would ask ourselves this question tonight. Does folk that we're around know we're a Christian? I remember hearing a preacher one time, he said the best thing you can do when you walk in on the job your first day is you need to tell folk that you're saved and that you're a Christian. Says it'll put you on the spot from there on out. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. Amen. You tell folk you're a Christian, guess what? They're going to be watching you. And so when folk look at you, what do they see out of us? Now, I found something interesting here in this passage of Scripture. And so in who do folk see in us? First of all, let me say number one, that we should have the desire to win somebody to Christ. Notice what he said, that they also may without the word be won. I thought out of all the ways that the Apostle Peter and that could word that, he said that they could be won. You could win them to Christ. Then you know what the word win means? It means to gain. Most of us know what it means.
I like to win. Don't you like to win? I sure don't like to lose. Amen. I like to win. But you know what it means to gain by success in competition or contest? In other words, it's a contest or a competition to win something or to gain by persuasion or influence. In other words, it's to win somebody's confidence like that. And I tell you tonight that we are in competition with the world and with the devil to win lost sinners to Christ. How do you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious light of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And look, when he has got folk and that duped into believing that they're okay, and we should be out there trying to win them. Win them, to get them. Because listen, we need to tell them, hey, they're on the losing side and we're on the winning side. We look about pride today, and you know the world, we see the world, they're built up in pride, and boy, they're having a big time out there in the world, and it looks like the church is going down, but we're going up, friend. Hey, I know what the book says, we're going to win this thing at the end of it all, amen. But we thank God for that tonight. I'm a winner, thank God I'm a winner. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. Right now I'm talking about who do people see in us that we might win them. 2 Kings chapter 7. In this passage of Scripture, you've got some lepers over here. Most of y'all should know this passage of Scripture. You've got some lepers. I believe it is Samaria that is. At this time, they're locked up. A famine. There's nothing to eat inside the city. The lepers are sitting on the outside, and they say one to another, let's pick up in verse 3, "And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also." Boy, it's a bad place to be in. Go into the city, going to die, sit here, going to die, going to starve to death. This ain't nothing to eat nowhere. And they said, "Now therefore come and let's fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Well, that's a sad state to be in, ain't it? I want you to understand, think about how these leprous men feel at this point in time. They're starving to death. They ain't got nothing to eat. The people in the city have nothing to eat. Nothing on the outside. And they're basically signing and resigning to the fact of their own death. And they said, "We'll go to the Syrians. And if they kill us, that's all they can do is kill us." And so they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." And wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, did eat and drink, and carried things, silver and gold, and raiment, and went and hid it, and come again. Can I park right here and say, who goes to fight a war and carries gold and silver and everything with them? Think about that for just a second. Now you have to go back to verse 1 and 2 to understand what's going on here. Let's go back to verse 1 and verse 2. That'll help you out. "Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And then the Lord, on whose hand I the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make the windows that make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." So Elisha has said, tomorrow you're going to have more than what you know do with. And the man who the king leaned on, he said, only if God opened the heavens up could this happen. You know, God knows what's going on at the other end before me and you ever know. So notice what happens right here. Let me pick back up right here. Bible said they went into one tent in verse 8 and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and come again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, we do not well. Why is it they did not well? Was it because they were carrying the gold and the silver off or because they ate something that maybe they weren't not supposed to eat? That's not it. They said, if we tarry here till morning lies, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. He said, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. Then they went on to say, if we tarry till the morning light. Said it is... what? A day of good tidings. You know what me and you know about eternity and salvation, we ought to be telling somebody. We ought to be trying to win others and that to Christ. Whether it is by our speech or whether it is just simply how we live in front of us, I want my life to have made a difference in this world before I leave out of here. So the lepers, as a matter of fact, if you go ahead and read all this right here, the lepers go back and they tell what's going on and the king sends out some folk to go check it out and they find out that it was the truth. And the Bible said in verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel. Now watch what your Bible says right here in verse 16, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is always going to be right. Verse 17, and the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. So the boy that over here that said, only this could happen if God really opened up the heavens, would this really happen? And you know what happened to him? He had charge of the gates, and boy, when everybody was starving to death, I mean, it's worse than Black Friday, and I mean, they run out there, they're starving to death, and they go, boy, I'm telling you, I wish that we could get the world to starve to death. If you get the world starved to death to realize that they needed something more than what they've got now, I believe that it'd make a difference in them. Amen. But if the only Christian somebody sees is us, then what do they see? We go back to the book of 1 Peter, and he says that if they obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise. So in our deportment right here, and I know this is talking about husband and wives, but it's no different than with us and anybody else. When we're seen, what do people and who do people see in us? Can I say tonight that me and you ought to stick out? You say, well, it's not in my nature to stick out. I understand that. I'm not talking about you got to go cause a scene. I'm just saying that there ought to be something different about us. Our deportment, how we carry ourselves, our reaction to certain things, our action to certain... He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he said, you're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It sends forth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. I had to study that for some time. Because in my study on salt, I come to find out the salt that we have here today that me and you have sitting on our tables, it don't lose its savor. I mean, the salt that we have, that iodized salt, it stays good for years and years and years, and it'll still have a savor. But the salt they had come out of the salt sea over there, and it was mixed with so many different minerals, and over a period of time, that salt would actually just lose its savor. It would just go away. And so he said right here, Jesus did, he said it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You know what they would do? They would just throw it out into the pathway and then walk on top of it. No, I hope that ain't how we are. He went on to say in verse 40, you know, there should be something. You know, Job asked the question over there, does a white of an egg have any taste? You put salt and pepper on it, it will. Amen. You put some hot sauce on it, and it will. But the white of an egg has no taste. Well, I'm telling you, I want to be that person that I have something that somebody else wants when it comes to Christ. I want my testimony to have meant something. Or listen, I'm talking in the past tense. I hope I ain't fixing to leave out of here. I want my testimony to mean something. Not only when I leave out of here that it meant something, I want it to mean something right now. He went on to say, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so the works that we do, our deportment, our conversation, we should be different. We should stick out. Our speech should be different. Our actions should be different. Our attitudes should be different. Every time I think about speech, I'm always reminded of Matthew 26, I believe it is, when Peter is over there standing around the fire and they're accusing him of being one of Christ's followers. And they said, even your speech bereath you. You know, it betrays you. How you talk is betraying what you're telling me right now. And he said, I don't know the man. And he began to cuss, is what the Bible says. He had been with Jesus for some 3.5 years, and it had made a difference so much in Peter's life that when he gathered around that fire with a bunch of them heathens and worldly people, he stuck out. They looked at Peter, and they knew there was something different about Peter. They said, even the way you talk is different, Peter. And he says, I know not the man. Surely we don't talk like everybody else. Surely we don't act like everybody else. I want to be different. I don't want to put on a show. I don't want this thing to just be something that I put on and that I take off. Who I am in Christ is who I am. And listen, whether I'm before you or out in this world or at home or I'm out in my workshop by myself, only in the presence of God, I want to be me. I walked up on a fellow the other day. I never had this happen before, Brother Jeff. We were a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were at the bar out there at Shoney's. Was getting our food, the breakfast bar, and there was a fellow. Against your glass said Shoney's. Amen. I caught that after it came out of my mouth. I thought, man, could have done that another way, couldn't I? Glad I put Shoney's on that thing. Amen. So as we were out there, and I was up there getting my breakfast, you know, and there was a fellow with a little boy that walked up to me, and he was talking to him, and he says, now stay away from him, don't run into him, and I said, oh, he's all right, I just don't want to back into him. And he stopped for a minute and looked at me. He says, your name Mark? I said, it is. And he said, well, I didn't know. He says, I listen to you all the time on the radio. He didn't know what I looked like, but he knew what I sounded like. Now, what happens if I would have been just up there just being ugly? I was on the job one time running some wire, and a fella comes in to work on the lift that we're working on, we're working with. And I'm in there, and we're standing around for him to work on that. And he said, hey, he said, you're the preacher that come over and held revival for us, ain't you? What if I'd have been in there cussing and carrying on? What I'm saying is, these people know you everywhere you go, just about. I've never had nobody pick up on my voice. That kind of amazed me a little bit. We should stick out. There should be something different about us. Acts chapter 4, the Bible said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus." Folk ought to be able to watch us and tell there's something different about these people right here. These people at Unity Baptist Church, they're just different people. Again, I don't want to be different for the sake of being different. I want to be different for the sake of winning somebody, and that to Christ, and having something that somebody else wants, friend. Some joy and happiness and peace in our lives tonight. We should stick out in being different, but to do that, we're going to have to be separated from this world. If you go back to the text scripture, Peter talks about down there in verse 2, he says, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." That word chaste means pure or genuine or uncorrupt. He puts it in front of the word conversation, which is your deportment. And so he says your chaste conversation, you're pure, you're uncorrupt, you're real. He said, what you're real about? See, I could tell you to be separate, but if I ain't separate, then what I'm saying is no more than sound of brass and tinkling cymbal. Now, what Paul talked about over there and having not charity, you know. Just words beating on the drum. Sometimes I forget who I serve and whose I am. I mean, the Bible said we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, serve God in your body and in your spirit, the Bible tells us. A lot of Christians... No, let me back up. A lot of believers. You know, there's a difference between a believer and a Christian. Christian is Christ-like. Believer just means they're saved. There's some people that are saved, they just don't make good Christians. They need some help. You know why I stay on the radio? Am I... I believe that every now and again God may get that radio in front of somebody's lost and get them saved. But not everybody goes to church got good sound doctrine. And they need some help. But he said right here, he says that our chaste conversation. You know, that's why he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and will of God. Let's look at it a different way. 2 Peter chapter 3, he said this. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass. Now, he's not talking about the rapture of the church out there. Now, that thing will come as a thief in the night too. When he comes to get us, and boy, out of here we go. You know, they're going to blow the trumpet. We'll hear, come up hither, and away we go. Thank God for that. But right here, he's talking about at the end. I really believe he's talking about at the end of all of it, because he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So he said, look, he said, everything you see, the heavens will be on fire, the earth will be on fire, it's all going to be burned up. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So God's going to give a new heaven and a new earth, ain't he? So if all these things are burned up, he said, they have seen then that all these things shall be dissolved. He said, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He said, all that matters at the end of it is how you live. Does not matter what you have accomplished physically. Does not matter what you own. Does not matter what you have. Don't matter. It's how you've lived. I'm not talking about work salvation. He's talking to save people right here. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Boy, I'm telling you, when we quit putting roots down here. And I'm getting, the older I get, the more I kind of understand that.
You know, we sing an old song. Sometimes I've read that book, "This World Is Not My Home. I'm Just a Passing Through." So if all these things that we have is going to be dissolved, he said, what manner of persons ought you to be? Now notice what he said, in all holy conversation and godliness. 1 Peter 1, he says, as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. I think God wants us to live holy. He wants us to live right. He wants us to have a testimony that when folk look at us, it points to Him. They should not so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father, my Father, which is in heaven. It's not for us. It's for Him. We've got too many Christians too many believers that don't stick out. I'm saying on the job, folk ought to know something's different about you. I'm saying in your family, folk ought to know something's different about you. You say, well, people won't like me then. Are we supposed to be liked by the world? I never found where the world liked Jesus. I mean, them sinners, they liked Him. Because He'd not only heal them, but He'd forgive them of their sins. But those that thought they had no sin, remember we preached on pride this morning, and you know, those that were in their own pride, they didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. But if we're not separated, we won't stick out. We'll be like what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5. We'll light the candle and then put it under a bushel. It's not even good. I was working on something the other day, and I had my phone out, and I was using the flashlight on my phone, and I set it down up there on top of it, and I thought, well, that was kind of dumb. You just, every light you had, you know, all the lights you had, it's all gone. You set it down. It's don't do any good. So he said that if they're going to be warned by the conversation of their wives while they behold, so, you know, they're looking. That word behold right here is talking about while they're looking at this thing, they're beholding it. It's took them captive. I heard a story one time of a feller and another man that went out to witness, and I'm not exactly sure about all this, how all this story goes, but they told it to me in a hurry the other day, and a gentleman that I know, him and another gentleman was just out inviting folk to church, and they were out soul winning. And they ended up at a place where folk were rooster fighting. You know, sometimes that happens. You know, same fella one time ended up at a house one time where some boys was working on the engine, and they were trying to start one little engine with a bigger engine, had it chained together. You know, you don't chain them together. Said they had them chained together trying to start the other one. And he says, what we didn't know, what me and the preacher didn't know, is that back up there in the woods, they had the steel cooking. And he said, them boys didn't want to have nothing to do with us. And he said, my preacher was pretty good. He said, let's just sit down over here for just a minute and watch these boys. And he says, when that thing finally hit, said they had that one engine turning and they had it running trying to start that other one. And he said, when that little one hit, said, man, both of them jumped up in the air, you know, engines up in the air. He said, them boys finally come over and talk to us after that, you know, after they got scared. But they tell the story about him going down there to where they were rooster fighting, and I don't reckon they said anything to him, but just their mere presence coming through there said one of them boys knew him and knew what he was out doing and said just him knowing him and knew that he was out trying to win folks, that made a difference in his life. And said he got right with the Lord simply because of that. You say, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. I'm just telling you what's told to me. Do I believe it? I believe it. I do. I'm telling you, when we live different, it makes a difference in people's lives. We should be an example of the believer.
1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation." There that word is again, ain't it? In charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He said, be the example of the Christian. Be the example of the believer in word, in things that you say. He said, in conversation, how you carry yourself, in charity, and how you love on people. And give, he said, in the spirit that you have. We ought to have a good spirit about us, shouldn't we? You ever been around people that say they're saved? Now I'd say they are, some of them are, but man, their spirit sure ain't good. I just don't want to be around them. In faith, the faith that we have. In purity, how we live. Titus chapter 2, he said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. He said, look, you be the pattern of good works. I think we need to be the example and the pattern. I think when people want to know what a Christian is, I think they'll be able to look at us. So it says that we can win somebody. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Something different. It might make them ask the question, say, why are them people so different? Or it might make them ask the question to come to you and say, why are you so happy? Do I have bad days? Sure. Am I going to have a happy day every day? Probably not. But there still should be something different about me. There'll be something different about us, church. There really should be today. Jesus has saved you. He's on the inside, residing on the inside. He'll make a difference in you. I would like to think that over the years that I have got better at being a Christian than being worse. I would like to find, I thought about this and thought about this out of First Peter. I believe it is. We go back to verse 2. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And things used to disturb me and bother me when I'd say, why did I do it that way? Or why did I say that or do that? Or why did I act that way? And certain things. And why, there's just some things I hadn't learned yet. You have to learn some things. You know, when you get saved, you don't get, you get all of salvation. Don't misunderstand me. You're as saved today as you was the day you got saved. And you ain't got no more. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Salvation is a complete deal. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, and you are complete in Him. That means when you get Him, you've got Him. You're complete. You can't get saved no more than what you're already saved. From day one to the very end. But we do learn and we do grow. And I think I've told you this. I remember a year or two ago, I was talking to the Lord, and why is it that way, Lord? Why did it take me so long to grasp that or to get that? And man, I was just worrying myself to death over things, and this and that and that and this. And finally, the Lord, it's almost like He hit me in the head, and He said, "You had to grow into some things. These youngins running around here, they got to grow into some things. They got to be trained. They got to be taught. You don't get it all. Them young'uns didn't come into this world talking. They couldn't even walk. Couldn't crawl, couldn't do anything on their own. And had to have mom and dad to take care of them. So there has to be some growth about us, but there should be growth. I want to be different. I want to stick out. I want to win somebody to Christ. I want to be the example of the believer that I need to be.
Wouldn't it be good if you could win your family to Christ tonight? Noah stood out there in a world that hated God. Amen. Stood out there in a world that hated God, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord and built that ark. And for over 100 years, he built that ark and he got his family on board. Would you call Noah a success story? Think about it for just a second. Would you call Noah a success story? He got seven other people besides... Is that right? Is that right, Miss Jennifer? That's an inside joke. He got seven other people besides him on board that boat. Would we call him a success? He got three boys, three daughter-in-laws, a wife, and himself on board that boat. Have we won our family? Are we trying to win our family? How about the folk we work with? How about our friends? Let's pray.